You listen to the Jason Greger Show presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jace. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to tell you a little bit about that and check in and see what's going on in the Alberta area, too. I'm a little bit out of touch since the playoffs ended. I haven't followed what's happening out there. Everything good out there?
Everything's good. You know NCAA. Quickly, give us a Tony Granato scouting report on Ike Howard, who the Oilers acquired from Tampa.
Howard.
Yeah.
Very talented, extremely gifted offensively, ton of energy. He skates well. He's going to compete. I think he is ready for the opportunity. Obviously, you guys have such a great supporting cast for him to jump in with the offensive talent. I think it's a good fit. So I think he's going to do really well, and I think he's going to help Connor. I think he's going to help Leon. He's going to help Nugent Hopkins, because I think you add a skilled player with speed that's got young energy like that. Probably a little bit different style of player than Dylan Holloway, but he could have the same impact on the lineup pretty fast.
Okay. Now, Tony, I came across Fight for Life. It's going to debut on July 28th. But before we talk about the episode, I want to kind of go back to the brainchild, how you came about with this idea. And, like, are you producer, director? Obviously, I know you star in it because you're the guy who's doing the interview. So how'd you come up with this idea?
Yeah, it came to me with a few buddies. It was during my cancer treatment a couple years ago. I'm sitting around the house doing nothing while I'm getting treated with my chemo and all the medicine, and my buddies would stop over and they'd say, hey, you got to start doing some things. You can't just sit around. And fortunately for me, I was able to continue to do the Blackhawk games. I did it right here where I'm sitting right now. I did the pregame, postgame shows, between period stuff. It gave me a little bit of stuff kind of to look forward to each and every day instead of just laying in bed, dealing with all the side effects of the medicine. And then my buddies came up with this idea, because I started talking about other stories of other athletes and people that I know that have overcome much greater obstacles than dealing with chemo and cancer. In my opinion, at least, I had some heroes out there that I thought were pretty special. And so we just started talking about those stories and throw those ideas around, like, geez, if it's helping you, maybe it would help others if we could share some of those stories to help people that might be struggling, might be dealing with something that's a life crisis. It looks like the end road, to show some stories that people can battle through some tough times. So we came up with some ideas. There's a million stories out there. You wouldn't believe it when you start to do a little homework on it, start to do a little research on it. The players, whether it be former hockey players, athletes, musicians, so many people have dealt with traumatic life experience and found a way to get through it, and then have gotten back into having successful lives and happy lives. So that's kind of where it came from.
Tony, going through cancer, obviously I have no idea what it's like, especially for a young man, somebody who was, at the peak of physicalness, you love competition and stuff. I wonder, was going through this and interviewing, because I know Clint Malarchuk's the first guy, but all the other people you interviewed, was some of it somewhat, therapeutic for yourself, because you went through this battle and sometimes you feel you're alone. And then when you talk to others, I'm sure you're able to connect in ways that you didn't even think were possible before the interview started.
Very well said. Yes. The answer is 100% yes. I'm not a quiet person that likes to sit in the room by himself. I like people. I like to be active around friends and people. So sitting by yourself and doing treatment and trying to get healthy so you can get that life back, is lonely. And what I realized, the friends and the people in the game of hockey and family, neighbors that stepped up and helped me through my tough days. Everybody that I've talked to that's dealt with heavy treatment of chemo or radiation, there's some really down days where you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel a lot of days. You wonder, geez, am I going to be able to get through this? Do I really have to take my medicine again today? Like, you get so many stuff, so much stuff that goes through your head that's really hard to kind of get past. And so I was, like I said, inspired by Eddie Olczyk's one. Kelly Chase and I did this together.
Okay.
from the standpoint, we started treatment pretty much at the exact same time. Troy Murray is dealing with cancer, Darren Kimball, Andy Moog there in Edmonton. But there are so many NHL teammates and friends and people my age or younger, and some are older, yes, but that were dealing with it at the same time. So I wasn't by myself. I had my teammates to share, you know, some of the struggles that I was dealing with to kind of see if they could, you know, pick me up. So that was very important part of the healing, very important part of kind of keeping your thoughts in the right frame of mind. I'm not a good medicine guy. I never liked taking medicine ever.
Yeah.
And when they throw all that medicine in you, it's really hard to focus and think the right way. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how mentally tough you think you are, when you got all that stuff in you and you're laying in bed and you can't sleep because of the other medicines and you got all these other side effects, it's really, really hard to stay positive. So our stories that we're trying to tell, and you said it, Clint is the first one. It wasn't cancer, but he's had lots of struggles in different situations, PTSD after his neck injury, some depression and some OCD, alcoholism, different things have come into his life that, you know, he's been able to deal with, figure it out, and somehow survive it. And what his purpose in life is, and it's what my purpose is now from the standpoint of, this is a nonprofit. There's nobody going to make a penny off of this project we're doing. Everybody that's been part on my side is doing it for free, doing it for the idea of figuring out how we can help the next person out there that might be struggling, might not be cancer, might be something completely different. And we give them a little idea on how to think through it a little bit differently, give them a little bit of hope and inspiration. And if that works and it helps people, then we're doing what we want to do. And Clint was the first one I called. I called Eddie Olchek too. I called Craig Cunningham too. And I called about five others immediately. It's all stories of people that I know that have gone through really, really hard situations. And every one of them said the same thing to me. They've never been able to share their story in the way they wanted to share it. Because when you get interviewed, you know, you get a mic in your face, you know, hey, Clint, how was it when you got your skate went across your neck? You know, how long did it take you to recover? You know, what did it feel like? You know, and you don't really get that conversational piece with somebody that's gone through something similar, or, you know, was a hockey player, a teammate or whatever. And so I feel we've been able to have some great conversations with some people that are saying things that aren't going to just help the patient or the person going through the trauma, but probably just as important, it's helping the caretaker think of some ideas on what they can do to take care of themselves so they can take care of the patient. And that's the biggest lesson I've learned so far. We had Diana Olchek, Eddie's wife. We've had Joni, Clint's wife. My wife shared some of her experiences through my brain injury that I had brain surgery on a long time ago, and then my cancer stuff. And a lot of times the patient can't think and worry about the caretaker because they got to focus on their own health and they're getting better. And so sometimes they're, I don't want to say forgotten, that's not the right word, but neglected to take care of themselves because they're so focused on the health part of it that they get run down. And that's a really important piece that we found has been consistent through all of the stories that we've begun to get through our conversation with these guys. We filmed Eddie, we're filming Craig Cunningham in about 10 days. Clint's, like you said, will be on the air on NHL Network on Sunday, the 27th of July. They're going to run it for a month straight. We gave them the rights to run it for a month. And again, it'll be available to whoever needs it. Like, we're going to have it on our website. We're going to give it to whatever platform wants it. We're not trying to sell it. We just want to distribute it and get it in people's hands that might, you know, find something that's going to help them through whatever they're dealing with. So that's our goal of what we're trying to do here.
Tony Granato joins us. And Tony, I love the premise and the idea of it. The one thing I've learned from, you know, working with a lot of different charities, Alzheimer's, and I love what you spoke about, you know, the spouse or the partner or that support system, and how a lot of times we don't talk about them, and they're so vital. And when I was reading up this, I love the fact that you interviewed Clint's wife, because in a lot of times I'm sure your wife was able to tell things to other people that you didn't even know right? You didn't really know how it impacted. And it's not that it's a negative. It's not to make you feel bad. It's just this is another side, another point of view of the story.
It's a huge part of the story. I'll give you an example. When I got out to see Clint, we brought our crew out to Nevada on his ranch to kind of settle in the day before we interviewed him. When we got to meet Joni and we were driving around, and we started talking a little bit about, you know, some of the incidents that happened, and they started sharing some stuff, and they were looking at each other, and Clint basically said, Joni, I did not know that. I did not know that that's what you were dealing with at that time. So it's therapeutical, and that's what we're trying to make every guest understand, that we don't want to interview if it's going to cause you problems. We don't want to sit down and discuss this if you can't feel that this is part of a healing, if it's part of a journey on your part to try to say, well, you know what? What I'm saying and sharing might help somebody else. If that, you know, then we're on the right page, and then we're on the same page of sending that kind of message out. So again, all of the people that I talked to that are going to be our future guests just are excited about it from the standpoint that they can maybe say some things that they haven't been able to say to a reporter or to a news station or to somebody else that they think is really, really important to share with those same intentions of giving somebody some hope, inspiration, even some ideas on different ways of dealing with it. Like I'll just show you one thing for me. I started the chemo thing, and I watched my brother and lots of people go through chemo. And it's, you don't want to ever watch anybody go through it, and you certainly don't want to go through it yourself. And I was, you know, really anxious as we got close to it. And I kept telling my wife, gosh darn it, chemo starts, you know, in 2 days, or chemo starts in a day. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And she goes, Tony, stop. Your healing starts in one day. That medicine is all healing. And that just one little thing of telling me that that's part of the healing was so important for me to kind of just refocus. Okay, it's not chemo. It's the stuff that's going to heal me and get me better. And that's a little thing, but it was a big thing for me that, you know, right from the get-go, I changed my mentality. Everybody that's doing cancer treatments right now, I tell them the same thing. Your healing starts the day you get your first medicine or your first treatment. Your healing begins. And just that little thing, I think, is a much easier way to look at it and kind of keep things, I don't know if it's in perspective, but just give you a better attitude going in.
Oh, I think it makes perfect sense, Tony. And the healing process for you, we'll get to the show in a sec, but the healing process for you, I'm assuming it's always ongoing. Is that fair? Like you know, we talked about this being therapeutic in the interview process, but for yourself now, like, do you feel... I don't even know if this is a fair word or not, but like, do you feel normal? Like, do you feel like the Tony Granato before you had your first chemotherapy?
I actually do. I'm going to tell you a couple things about that as well. Like, I didn't feel well for probably 6 months before I was diagnosed. I knew I was sick, and I kept turning to doctors that something's going on here. And it took a while for them to kind of, you know, understand what I was trying to tell them. And, you know, when you tell them certain things, they go, well, you know, it's possible it's this, but, you know, you're healthy, you look good. We're not seeing a whole lot of other stuff going on. So we'll, you know, just we'll watch it. But, you know, I knew I was sick. And then, you know, when I was dealing with all the stuff, it was hard. But when I got out of it, try to answer your question. Do I feel normal? Yes, I do. I feel normal. But I feel privileged from the standpoint that I was blessed, that I am healthy. I got to ring the bell at the end of my treatments. It doesn't mean I'm free of cancer forever. It means I did my 18 weeks of chemo and then my 1 month of radiation. And you have a little celebration. You completed your journey of what the doctors prescribed for your regimen for the cancer route. My scans have been good. My blood work's been good. I hit the 1 year anniversary, which is a big date, probably about 3 weeks ago now.
Okay.
There's a lot of relief to get to that 1 year point. You know, you go every 3 months, you do your scans, you do your blood work. I work out hard. I try to get back into that, you know, I don't want to say game playing shape, but it's pretty close to it. I push myself. I still think I'm going to make a comeback here someday. I'm waiting for somebody to call me. But, I do feel good, but I'm still on that cautious side. I know and understand that, you know, when you have cancer, you know, there's certain anniversaries, like I said, at 1 year. The 5 year one is the big one, I believe.
Okay.
So I'll continue every 3 months to go in and get checkups and see my doctors, but they're optimistic on the treatment did what it was supposed to do. And you know, I'm just happy to be healthy and hopefully at this point, this is where I wanted to get to. So halfway through my treatments, I get a knock on the door, and I had spent the whole day in bed. I didn't come down. It was one of those days. I didn't want to see anybody. I just wanted to get through the day by myself. And finally I get downstairs. I know I got to eat cause I got to take more medicine. So I get down to the table and I'm sitting there by myself, and Linda knew it'd be, you know, quiet, just kind of leave me be myself. And the door, I hear the bang on the door, and I said, Linda, do not, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't, just tell them I'm not here. Just tell them whatever, if it's for me. And it was one of my doctors that was going to be doing my radiation, which was a couple months later.
Okay.
And I hear him talking to Linda, and I said, Linda, let him in. I said, get him in here, you know, because it's a friend of mine, and he was the head of the Carbone Center radiology. And so he sat down with me, and he told me something that night that's helped me so much the rest of the treatment. He said, Tony, I'm watching your scans. I'm watching everything to be ready for when I do have to set up for the radiation. Everything is looking good. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're a coach. You're a person that leads and whatever else. And when you get and beat this and you get healthy, you are going to have the ability to help so many people that you'll have a new lease on life and what it's all about. And I looked at him and I go, man, that's really nice to say. You know, I hope that they, you know, whatever, I realize what that day means. Sure enough, when I got through that treatment, I had a couple opportunities to go speak at some different cancer events. And I got on stage one day in front of about, I'm going to say 3,000 people. And there were cancer survivors. There were people that had just volunteered their time to go for walks. There were people that were just donating. And there were also family members of cancer patients that lost their lives to cancer. So I had a wide range of audience. And I told that story, and I told a little bit about what I felt like that night. And I know what he means now, because as a cancer survivor, I guess I can say right now, you are very much influential on lots of people's lives that are dealing with cancer, or family members are dealing with cancer. And I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, because it's not the greatest thing to have to do every day, but I got a bunch of buddies and friends that are dealing with cancer, you know, currently.
Yeah.
And I'm hopefully their support cast. And I take calls, I text them, I call them, I check in on them, I make sure, I remind them about the healing, I give them all the things that helped me through it. And that's a very rewarding kind of feeling to have. You know, because, you know, you got your doctors, you got your people around you, but as someone that's had cancer, I know what they're dealing with. And you can build a relationship with people in a special way because of that experience that I had going through the treatments.
Well, and I think, Tony, not to shortchange yourself, I think it's not even just people with cancer. I think you can inspire lots of people, because it shows that, you know what, you know, hard work and commitment and belief and faith and lots of different things. You know, you don't have to be religious when I say faith, just believing in that, you know what, hey, I'm going to do the right things here. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. And, you know, this is beatable. Not always, unfortunately, not for everybody, but for lots of people it is, if you go in with the right mindset. And the mindset is so much half the battle, that you probably learned that it's, you know, the power of the brain. I love reading books about, you know, that power. And it's something that in North America, we probably really don't dive into deep enough. We're not necessarily, you know, as a overall society, really big on the spirituality side of things, but the power of our brain. And when you tell yourself, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to, now you got to take the steps. You can't just say it and then sit there and eat a bag of chips, but you know what I mean? And so that you inspire a lot of people in different ways. And so I'm going to ask you, we're going to take a quick break, because when I come back, I do want to talk about the show, Clint Malarchuk, and the other episodes, because I love the fact that you pointed it out earlier. This is not just about cancer survivors. There are people that have cancer like yourself, but it's Clint Malarchuk, who just had a very traumatic experience. And that's something that I think a lot of people out there listening can relate to. So we'll get to that when we return. on the Gregor Show with special guest Tony Granato on Sports 1440, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Con Man's always got the great tunes that that match kind of the theme of the interviews. Tony Granato joins us, of course, sticking with us. Fight for Life debuts this Sunday. Clint Millar checks the word. And really, Fight for Life is exactly, it's very straightforward. That's what it's talking about. Different guests who at a certain time in their life were literally fighting for their life. And Tony, Clint Millarchuk, for, you know, older fans like myself, they remembered very scary, got cut by a skate in the neck, and it was very gruesome and, you know, literally a miracle that he survived. And I was reading the kind of the watching the trailer of this first episode, and there was a lot. I didn't know that he dealt with alcoholism and PTSD and all of that. And I know you knew Clint. How much did you learn during this whole interview process with Clint that you didn't know before?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, when I originally called Clint, I had only met him one time. Jocko Cloutier was, we were coached together in Colorado, and Jocko's the one that went in the net for Clint after the injury, and he had to go stand in the crease with the blood. So he knew Clint, and I'm going to say one other thing too about this, because it's a good point right now. So think about the trauma that Clint went through of having to deal with what he did and recover from it. And think about the doctor, think about the fans in the building, think about Jacques Cloutier and the teammates and the referee and the people that were there that night, Steve Tuttle. Think about the trauma that Steve Tuttle went through. So it opened up my eyes when I talked to Clint about, you know, what he was dealing with and whatever else, that holy cow, there's so many people that were connected to this story that had to deal with their own set of trauma and figure out how to heal from that. And so that's another, I guess it's another subject, but it's important to realize that it's not just the person that's going through the trauma that's suffering the trauma. It goes back to the caretakers and stuff we talked about earlier. But I learned about that. But anyways, when I brought this up to Clint, he's an unbelievable, friendly guy that as soon as you talk to him, you feel like you played with him for like 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go through the wall for you just because you, hey, Clint, this is Tony. I just want to introduce myself. We had met once before. Hey, Tony, how you doing? How's everything? Hey, how's your treatments going? You know, and I'm like, man, Clint, you got a ton of energy. And I said, well, I shared the idea. And before I could finish even explaining to him what we were going to do, he said, Tony, I'm available for you whenever you need me. I love your concept of trying to think about maybe helping people in a different way that we can really be able to, you know, find the right platform, find the right audience to share our stories, which we think, you know, so he gave me that right out of the gate. So, and then I learned more about the actual story. I read his book, and it's just an amazing, amazing, amazing story. One, you know, like I said, I wish I had the chance to play with him. And of course, his humor was, oh, you scored on me. You scored five goals on me. I said, Clint, I don't remember scoring one on you, but that's great. Okay. That's great. But, you know, so he's got a great sense of humor. He's in a really good spot. But some of the things he taught me, and this is one of them, it's okay not to be okay. It took him a long time to be able to tell himself, because as a professional athlete, you're always supposed to be great. You're always supposed to have energy, feel great, I'm ready. But there's lots of times we're not great.
Yeah.
And to have that mindset and to be able to tell yourself, you know what, it's okay not to be okay. I'm not thinking the right way. I don't feel, you know, quite mentally there. And that took him a long time to get to that point. And because of that, he's been able to find different ways of dealing with some of the things that are still there for him. Like he's, you know, it's not perfect. He's not healed forever. He still has to take care of himself. He still has to watch out and make sure that if there's a tough day going on, he can reach into that toolbox of different things that he's used along the years to learn how to deal with some of the stress and things that are going on. So it's really, he's an amazing, amazing human being story. I love him like a brother. We've since that interview or this since that we conversation that we had, I joined a board with him on the ranch, it's called. It's a place that we have out in Minnesota that is a healthy place to bring former NHL players or family members of players or anybody to do in the hockey world that needs some space to be able to heal from some of life's crises. So it started with Mark Pavlich. So I don't know if you know much about Pav started that before his life went, and Clint is the president of that. I'm on the board with him, so we're working together again with the same intentions of trying to help. We're at that point in our life now. We're done playing hockey, but we still have teammates and people we care about. And if we can figure out different ways of helping, we're going to do it.
Tony Granato joins us, of course. Can I call you like producer, director? Is that fair?
No, I don't even know what they do. A producer, director. I am somebody that sits down. I am the interviewer or the person that is having the conversation.
Okay, host of Fight for Life.
I like that. I'll be a host. I know what a host is.
You know what a host is. All right, that's good for me.
I've had lots of friends that have been overly committed, excited, that just work around the clock on different ideas, on helping us prepare for it, plan for it. We do Zoom calls with all our interviews to kind of share what our intentions are, giving them full access to be able to make sure that whatever comes out, it's coming out the way they wanted it to. It's their story. It's not our story. It's their story. It was their life. It's their experience. So we put a lot of effort into making sure that happens. So we put the time and energy in to make our guests feel comfortable. And then, like I said, give them full access to any sort of, if they want to redo something, make something they said didn't quite sound right, or they just don't want to talk about it, that's perfect. It's your story. So I got lots of people that are helping me. That's for sure. Great friends and great people.
So Tony, Clint Malarchuk's episode one comes out on Sunday. You mentioned Craig Cunningham. Well, who are some of your future guests that are going to be on the show?
Well, Eddie Olczyk, his colon cancer journey was an incredible one. It wasn't an easy thing for Eddie to get through. It happened post-career, but him being the face of NBC Sports, of TNT, of, you know, hockey in general, everybody knew about it. And there was a lot that went into that where he had so many people that he was able to kind of say, okay, I have to beat this. I have to help people and give them a story that's going to inspire them. And I have to be able to teach people that, you know, some symptoms might be that are out there. I have to open up and I have to tell people that this is what happened to me, and to help them recognize that they might have something going on so they could make sure that they get in and get checked, you know, for whatever they need to. And so Eddie's one of them. His wife, Diana, who is a big part of the story, is with them. Craig Cunningham, like I said, there's five guests that we have confirmed for the first season.
Okay.
I'd rather not say their names yet because they still are, in the process of sorting things out before our interview. But we got a couple. Here's a couple interesting ones. We got a couple sled hockey players that went through some traumatic injuries overseas in the war that came back and were able to get their lives back in order. And they became part of the Olympic team at the Paralympics. So a pair of those guys are coming in. One more cancer patient, someone that was paralyzed in the game of hockey. So we get a wide variety. And again, it's endless on the stories that are out there that people want to share to kind of have that same intention of helping people. So we're gonna go past the game of hockey. As long as this year goes well, I think it is. I think we're getting some opportunities for some really good sponsors to kind of, all we need is somebody to help pay for the next episode and we're good. And then if we do get extra money coming in, it's going to be distributed to the charities of our guest choice. That's the intentions we're having, to try to raise awareness, also raise some ideas on how we can raise some money for their charities. So we got some sponsors that have reached out to us that are really interested. They're gonna talk to us about the future episodes and what their sponsorship level will be. And if that all goes well, we're gonna expand and get outside the world of hockey. There's stories all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So we got some really cool ideas.
Well, I think it's fantastic at a time where, you know, it's easy sometimes for people to want to focus on the negative. I like focusing on the inspiring stories, They can be deeply profound. They can be emotional. You know, I could even tell in our first segment, like it's emotional at times to talk about things. And I'm a big believer in emotion. Like ever since my father died, I kind of blame him because now I cry way more than I should at certain times when I'm not even sad. But that's just
okay.
That's how life is. Oh yeah, it's more of it's a running joke with my wife for sure. But I wanted to ask you as you know, like a comfort level for you, Tony. Like you've been a coach, you've been a player. You were always on the other side. Now you're the one being the interviewer. How was that?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, you know, the coaching part, I was fortunate. I was, you know, a player coach for, I don't know the total amount of years, but a long, long time. And, you know, you feel like a little kid. You do. You still feel like, you know, you lived your dream, you played the game, then you stayed the game, you coach, you're part, you know, part of all these great organizations, and then get a chance to go back and coach college where you played college. I think that's part of the storyline there too, is the fact that no matter how great life seems, all of a sudden there might be that big stop. Like I had one with the brain injury, I had brain surgery in the middle of my career. And you know, I didn't think I was going to be able to come back and play. I just wanted to get through the surgery and get fixed up and be a dad again. And then, you know, I made the decision to come back to play, but you know, everything's going well for me again. And all of a sudden I'm back in Wisconsin and don't feel good. Next thing you know, the doctor says, hey, you got cancer. Like life stops at a certain point and you got choices to make on how you're going to deal with it. One. And then I think the other thing is you realize is that no matter how invincible you seem as an athlete, there are life traumas and crises that happen to everybody, no matter what you do and no matter how you live your life. And that's where you mentioned your faith. You mentioned so many things that are important, your character, your friendships, your, you know, so many things that really help you when you do get to that point. And all the lessons I learned in the game of hockey about teamwork, about mental, you know, I don't want to say toughness because that's probably the wrong phrase, but just a way to mentally categorize stuff and control things was something that really helped me as well. And again, my teammates, I mean, every second my phone was lighting up when I was going through treatment, somebody had sent a text or a well wish that means, I can't tell you how much that means in knowing that people are caring about you and thinking about you as you go through your stuff.
One last one, Tony, before I let you go, I'd be remiss not to ask you this just because you just celebrated 1 year cancer-free, which is awesome. What message would you say to those who are currently going through, you know, their own cancer battle or radiation treatment, as well as their support family?
A couple things. I mean, I got a whole list of things. Clint explained this to me for his well-being, and it's you're not doing it alone. So don't ever think you're going to do it alone. And to me, there's some sort of a risk in that because there's, you know, I was in the chemo labs where you walk in and there's rooms packed with people. I mean, and there were lots of older people that were there alone. They didn't have family members. They didn't have friends. You got to find a way to find something that can be there with you. And it could be a stuffed animal. So I saw patients bringing stuffed animals. I saw older patients bringing a little blankie. Some sort of security thing that they know they're not doing it by themselves, I think is one important thing. People care, the doctors care, the caretakers that are at the hospital, the support people at the hospital. I'm overwhelmed that they could come there every day and figure out how to help you in a positive way that makes you feel comfortable, that you know they care about you and your feelings and whatever. And I was so lucky. Carbone Center and Sloan Kettering, I did treatments at both places. And they made every patient, I watched them deal, not just with me, I watched them deal with the older people, with whatever. Their ability to be able to get in that mindset every day to help people was overwhelming. So the doctors, the caretakers, those are the things. Eddie bragged about that too. It's overwhelming when you become a patient to see how many people care that are in that field that dedicated their lives to be there to help people that are going through really, really tough times. And that was a very eye-opening experience. And I go there, and I went back last week. I had to go to the hospital for something, actually part of this project. And I walked in the chemo room, and I didn't you know, you have different nurses every time. And I walked up to every one of them I saw and I said, hey, I was a patient over a year ago and I just wanted to tell you, I sent notes and done some other things, but I just want to tell you firsthand, I couldn't be more grateful for what you guys did for me. And if you please share that with all the other nurses that an old patient came back and just wanted to tell you guys that. And you know, they're special. And that was something I learned as well. I don't even know what your question was.
It's all good, Tony. You answered it very well. And the showing gratitude is one of the greatest things that we can do to our fellow human beings. I can tell you, Tony, I'm so gracious for your time today. And I can't wait to watch this episode and all the other episodes. And we'll probably have to have you back on again to talk more about Fight for Life. So best of luck with that. And congratulations. Oh, I forgot to ask you one quick one. Please tell me you had a fun celebration when it was year one. You better have done something good.
Very emotional.
Okay.
You talked about crying. My kids, the same thing. I used to go to Disney movies, especially after I had my head injury. I go to Disney movies and my kids would look at me, Dad, are you crying again? And I said, stop, watch the movie. Yeah. And I wouldn't say I'm softer, but I would say I recognize a lot of other things in life that are really, really special to me.
Yes.
That I think when you're a player and you're going through that, you know, it's just every day is, you know, get ready for the next game, hurry up and do this, that, and the other thing. Things don't sink into you until you have that opportunity of a life-changing incident that actually molds you and kind of steers you back on track to what life's all about. And so I think, that's where I'm at. So I did celebrate from the standpoint. I got really emotional. And like you said, gratitude towards all the people that helped me get to that point.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for this, Tony. And we'll talk to you again soon. And enjoy this and enjoy the launch. I'm sure you put a lot of work in that. And hopefully you can sit back and enjoy Sunday night's broadcast.
I appreciate your time, Jace. Thanks so much for having me. We'll get on. If you need me again. And Clint, if you ever want to get Clint on.
I would love
to. He's a tremendous interview. So yes.
We'll hook that up. Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
He's got more fun stories outside of all of his stuff.
He's a rancher, buddy. I'm a farm kid at heart, man. We can talk ranch stories all day long. That'd be great.
And he would love that.
Awesome. Thanks, Tony, so much. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you.